do it. All right. Okay, Dave. Let's do it. All right, let's take our hymn books. Again, turn with me to 258. 258. These songs Gary picked out were just so well connected. This is he hideth my soul. That's good, isn't it? 258. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When numberless blessings each moment crown and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. All right, let's take our bulletin. Turn. No, I'll get it right. I'll get the words right now, just in our bulletin. And we're going to sing our song to Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Christ, whose glory fills the Christ, the true and only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. They spring from on high, be near. Day star in my heart appear. Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see. Till thy inward light impart, gladden my eyes and warm my heart. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see. Visit then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sin and grief. Fill me radiance divine, scatter all my unbelief. More and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day. Fill me radiance divine, scatter all my unbelief. Thank you, Dave. All right. Let's take our Bibles once again. I want you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Now, let me tell you, in seeking the Lord's direction this morning, my heart was drawn to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I read the first chapter. And I'm going to try to be as honest as I possibly can. I'll consider looking, if the Lord gives me direction to go into the book of Ecclesiastes. I've preached a few messages here and there, but never through the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm going to seek to see if that would be the way I should go. But because having read that first chapter and seen what the preacher, Solomon, said in that chapter, I felt led, before I go into this book, possibly go into it, I want to give some background of Solomon so that we might be able to enter into what is being said and the blessing of what's being said. Now Ecclesiastes is commonly accepted. Solomon's name is not on this book, but it's commonly accepted that it was penned by Solomon. He says in verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Israel. And Solomon is the only man born in Adam that fits that particular title there. So it's written, we're pretty convinced, by Solomon. But there's some things that are said in this book being written by probably Solomon in his old age. This is going to be after the temple was built, after he met with the Queen of Sheba, even after his heart was turned after other gods. And the reason I say that is because I want you to turn with me over to Ecclesiastes 7. I'm going to make some references here, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to be a lot in in 1st, 2nd Kings, Chronicles. So you might as well just kind of get your hand in that area. We'll be there for a few minutes. But I want you to listen. And the reason I want to say this concerning the blessing, because we know what happened in Solomon's life. I'm going to look at him to let us see the blessing of this book being written, Neil, toward the end of his life, and how God brought him back. It blessed my heart. I pray it will be to you. But he makes reference. He makes reference to some things that happened, but especially having his heart turned. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 23 to 26. And he said, "All this have I proved by wisdom." Now that word "prove" right there, to test, to try, by implication, to attempt. And when he says he proved it, what he said was these things, I did them. I did this. He said, "All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter." And listen to what he said about fine. He said, "I tried a lot of things. I tried them out. I tempted them. I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands." See what you say? Her hands. I looked these words up. Her hands, her power, her direction. He said, "I find more bitter." I proved this. I found more bitter. The hands of a woman, her hands as bands, manacles, handcuffs. He found out. I found that more bitter than death, whose heart is snares and nets. Her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. So he's making reference to something that he experienced. He knew something about. He spoke as one who obtained wisdom through the revelation of God, by God's Spirit, and experience. So beholding this book that we're considering and seeing how God mercifully delivered him, it should give us some peace and some hope and comfort in our lives. We think, Lord, when you say, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. So here's Solomon. Now a man that's aged in life, and he spoke concerning the wisdom that had been received. He learned something. Look at Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Now he's gonna give some wisdom. He's gonna give something he's learned. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." What he's saying is this. Now he's speaking from experience. Now some of us here got a little age on us, and we're going to understand what he's saying right here. He said, be mindful of the one who made you and owns you. Be mindful. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Consider him who owned you, made you before the affliction of old age takes hold. Before you come to that point when you realize that things that you thought were so important, that were so needful, that were so desirous, when you thought that those things were, and now you've come to this point in your life and you realize, you know what, they weren't. They weren't nearly as important as I thought they were. Things that just don't matter. Solomon had experienced. Turn to 1 Kings 10. Like I said, just kind of get over in that area right there. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles. 1 Kings 10. He experienced something about wealth. He knew it. He knew something. 1 Kings 10, verse 21, 23. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None were silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory, apes, peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. He knew something about having something. He had money. He knew what it was. Look at 1 Kings 10, verse 24, just a few verses. He knew what it was to have the masses come to him and say, listen, I just want to hear you talk. Look at 1 Kings 10, verse 24. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, and vessels of gold, and garments, and armor, spices, horses, mules, rate year by year. This man knew what it was to have some money. He knew what it was to have people come and want to talk to him and appeal to his wisdom. What he had. This man was taught of God those things that can only be known by divine revelation and believed through faith. But he was also one that, I said, experienced it. He knew what it was. You know, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says in Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. He experienced them. Solomon experienced that. Oh, the truth, though, of keeping Solomon, even in the days and times of his waywardness, the things that he experienced, things he had, things that he saw, the things that he experienced. Scripture says Almighty God was his God. I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. And the reason that he wasn't cut off was because of this. Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So this book, Ecclesiastes, it's written to the people of God. It's a book, as all the books of the Bible are, inspired by the Spirit of God. And it teaches us two things: emptiness and the fleetingness of the things of this world, and also then the sufficiency. God is all, and in all, Christ is all. The sufficiency of God's grace in Christ. This book is a book of mystery to the world, but it teaches the believer something of an inner struggle between the old man and the new man. It's a book that the unregenerate sees as a book of contradiction. That can't be. But to the believer, the regenerate, he sees the proof of God's unerring truth and the faithfulness to his word. So these things that are hidden to some and revealed to others, the Lord thanked his Father for that. He said in Matthew 11, 25, 26, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, I want us to, as I said, I'm just going to look mainly, just make a few comments out of this first verse, but mainly to give us a background so that if the Lord directs us to go into this book, we're going to see why Solomon was saying what he was saying. Why? Where did he come from? How did you get that information? How did you learn all that? Well, in verse 1, back in Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, it says the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Israel. Now, again, there was one man to fit that, Solomon, the preacher. That is the assembler, the lecturer. And it's from a word, the preacher. from that word right there that he used, it means to assemble, to gather. So has the Lord not gathered his people through preaching? You know, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I've said before, not foolish preaching, but what the world calls foolishness, what the world considers to be foolish. Solomon, turn to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, 2 Chronicles 1. Solomon was a man that was chosen of God, called, taught of God, a man in whom the sovereignty and mercy of God in Christ was greatly exhibited. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 1, and Solomon, son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains and thousands, hundreds, judges, to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeah. And there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. And in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I will give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that's so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, thou hast not asked riches, wealth, honor, or life of thine enemies, neither hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. So I'm telling you, the scriptures reveal that these things that were given unto Solomon, promised of God, taught him, he's going to give him some wisdom, but he's going to have to experience them. Give me wisdom. It's going to come at a cost. It's going to come at a cost. Now, in that first verse where I said, in the words of the preacher, son of God, King David, and we talked about, we went over there, and it says that Solomon was strengthened in his kingdom. It means it was made stable. It was made fixed. And something happened that God brought Solomon through that happened concerning his daddy. I want you to turn over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel 16. David was still king. The scripture says that 2 Samuel 16:5, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, son of Gera. He went forth and he cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David, at the servants of King David, and all the people, all the mighty men on his right hand, on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. And the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and pray thee out, take his head off, take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? And let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai, to all his servants, behold, thy son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse. The Lord has bidden him. So what he's saying is, he said, this man was cursing David. And Abishai, one of his men, said, I'll take his head off. He has no right to do that. David said, leave him alone. Just leave him alone. God sent him. God said to go. Well, that man right there was spared. Shimei, he was spared for a while. God didn't kill him. But turn over to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1 to 9. 1 Kings chapter 2. He didn't kill him right then. But now David's coming to the end of his life. 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, walk in his ways to keep his statutes and his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it's written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. He gives him instruction, but I want you to look down at verse 8. 1 Kings 2:8. Now behold, thou hast with thee Shimei. He's going to give him instruction here. He said, David said, I'm getting ready to die. I'm going to go the way of all men. But he says in verse 8, now behold, thou hast thee Shimei, that one that cursed him, with the son of Gera, Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan. I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. And he died. So he told him, he said, look, he cursed me, and I didn't kill him. God sent him to curse me, and I didn't kill him. I told him I wasn't going to, but he said, I want you to take care of him. Don't let him off. Don't let him. So the scripture, you know, after David died, Solomon took action. Back still in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36. Here's what happened. 1 Kings 2:36. The king sent and called Shimei, this is Solomon now. He said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. It shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, that thou shalt know for certain, thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, thy saying is good. My lord, the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. It came to pass at the end of 3 years, two of the servants of Shimei ran away into Achish, son of Maachah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servant be in Gath. And Shimei arose, saddled his ass, and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants to Gath, and it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and just come again. And the king sent, called Shimei, said unto him, Did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, no, for a certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment which I have charged thee? And the king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all wickedness that which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him. He died, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. God established Solomon's kingdom, and He made Solomon to be known and recognized that this is the man that God's raised up. So the Lord in this, in the life of this man, he was pleased to have the temple not built by his daddy. His daddy was going to, but God said, no, it's going to be built by your son. And that's recorded in 2 Chronicles 6:5-11, if you'd like to read it. And then even Solomon was visited by the Queen of Sheba, and the words that she spoke unto him. She came and she told him, turn to 2 Chronicles 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, and Queen of Sheba comes, and verses 2 Chronicles 9, verses 1-6. When the Queen of Sheba had heard the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon hard questions at Jerusalem with a great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that had been built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, cupbearers, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She said to the king, it was true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts, of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words till I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, one half of the greatness of thy wisdom is not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I've heard. Is that not the confession of God's people toward the Lord? That shall be. I've heard it. I've heard it all my life. But half of it has never been told. Here's Solomon now. Beautiful picture right here of the Lord Jesus Christ. But something, turn back to 1 Kings. I've got to wrap this up. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Something happened. And here was a man called of God, taught of God, established by God, blessed of God. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1-8. It's just astounding. Now you remember what I said at the beginning. All of these things, God gave him wisdom. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom. But I want you to look at the pain. And the book of Ecclesiastes was written in old age. Because Solomon, I showed you over there in that book, Ecclesiastes, where Solomon mentioned what we're going to read right here. God gave him wisdom. But oh, the pain that he suffered for that wisdom. I mean, you think God teach a man, teach a woman something. That can be an expensive lesson. Expensive. We learn by experience. I told you before. Somebody tells me, they found a spot, you know, on me. I've got this. Do you know you can't enter into what they're saying unless somebody's, a doctor's found it on you too. You don't know what that feels like. I've lost a loved one. You don't know what that feels like unless you've lost somebody. You think you do. You don't. I'm telling you, experience. But I want to show you. I'm going to show you something about what God brought this man. Allowed this man. He did what he did because he wanted to do it. God left him to himself to do what he did. 1 Kings 11, 1. The king of Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines. His wives turned away his heart. But it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. I'm telling you, it was expensive. This is going to be an expensive lesson right here. But he's going to learn from it. He's going to learn that the snares and the nets of a woman's hand is worse than death. He said, I'll tell you something, worse than death. He said, be taken like this. Oh, picture of false religion. There's so much what I just thought time won't permit me to say it all. But he learned something. There was no greater revelation of man's continual need of being kept by the power of God. And right here, what Solomon learned. The scripture says in Psalm 39:5, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity." No one can keep themselves unless the Lord keeps a man. He's gone. He's gone. You think you're stable. No one has the right to say, "I would never be found doing that." That's a foolish statement. You think yourself. Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You know what comes just before fall? Pride. 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 I you wouldn't catch me. Get away from me. I'm holier than you. Oh, my. Here was a man raised up by God, blessed of God, given wisdom that he learned by experience, a man that was allowed to see his need of being kept. But, oh, I'm telling you, listen to this in Nehemiah 13. I'm going to just read it to you. Nehemiah 13, 23, 26. "Who is a God like unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." Delighteth in mercy. I want to see if I can find something here real quick. I read what I read. I said the right passage. I wrote down the wrong. But the one I read was a good one. Who is a God like that? Pardon of iniquity. Here's Nehemiah 13. Forgive me. Nehemiah 13. I'm going to just read it to you. "In those days also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, 'You shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves.'" And listen to this. Nehemiah 13:26. "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin in these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like unto him who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin." Did Solomon know God? Yes. Did God know Solomon in mercy? Yes. Did the Lord love him? Yes. Did the Lord teach him? Yes. Was it painful? Yes. Do we benefit from it? Yes. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the mercy of God. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I will in no wise cast out. I will never, no, never, no, never. Lord willing, as we consider the things that God taught this man, Solomon, may the Lord cause us to remember the high cost of this flesh, high cost of free grace, what it cost him, what it cost us to learn. I'm telling you, the experience that this man went through and learned, and the Spirit of God to teach us, what a blessing. When he talks about vanity of vanity, all is vanity, He knew what he was talking about. May God bless this to our hearts for his sake and our good.